laptop you gave me, so thank you.
I'm glad.
No.
Uh-oh, look out. Papa's being silly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fetish Man San Diego.
There's more water for you, sir. You're ready.
It's really good to see everybody in here, too, man. It's nice and hot.
Yeah. Yeah, the closer it gets to the flogs, the hotter it's going to get.
There's a good chance if you're into this. Yeah.
Mm. If it gets too bad, we've got the AC.
Into man funk. Okay, we meet here for the Wednesday night discussion, and we just got a few announcements to make, and then we'll get into our topic tonight, which is size matters, wink, wink. And I put the wink in there, because it's like a double entendre.
Yep.
First of all, the restrooms are down. If you go down the stairs here, they're in the back. There's a men's and a women's room in the back. There's water on the table back here. Thank you, Mike, for providing the water and everything. I think that's it on that part. And then we have some announcements. And this month is ending, and we're going to be going into May. And there's a lot of stuff happening in May. And the first thing is next Wednesday, we're going to have a potluck here. So I'm going to have John share a little bit about the potluck. It's just going to be casual. We're going to bring food here, and we're not going to have a topic or anything. We're just going to talk amongst ourselves, and if something comes up, we'll just be in spontaneity about that. And I'll let John.
Okay, so I just thought, it's a lot of times it's hard for everybody to get here early to go to, meet for dinner before a discussion group or things like that, and I kind of asked around, and everyone seemed pretty open to the idea of occasionally having a Wednesday night where we just take a night, and instead of having that 15-minute bio break where we have to pull everybody back from talking to each other and socializing, to just have a night where everybody brings something to eat, and we all just sit here and talk and get to know each other, other than specifically fetish stuff. Of course, that conversation is going to be happening, and we welcome that. But it's just an opportunity for us to break bread together and kind of just have a fun night off. Nothing heavy, not having to worry about, anything other than just bringing something to eat and having a good time with our brothers in a non-bar environment where anybody can be here and it's not going to be loud and, we'll be loud, but it's not going to be loud like in the bar with the music going and, and drinks clinking and everybody screaming and, So this will just be an opportunity for us to kind of get together and do something a little more chill. It's been a very busy month this past month. The fisting demo went really well, as I understood. And so this is just kind of like a cool down from that so that we can refresh ourselves for the upcoming things because it's going to be a busy summer.
Oh, yeah.
So very exciting things. So on the little board up here, and I'm going to post it on Facebook, of course, and Papa Tony will send it out on the newsletter as well. How we work it out is, I stole this from Bear San Diego because they've got the food thing down really well. Whatever your last name starts with, the first letter decides what you bring. A through K is a salad, an appetizer, or a side dish. And if your last name starts with L through Z, it's a main dish. Mm-hmm. And yes, tacos from Taco Bell or fried chicken or pizza does count if you don't feel like cooking. Just please, everybody, do not bring pizza. Because pizza and fried chicken inevitably is what everybody goes to grab. A couple of them are fine if you have no other choices, but try to be a little more creative than that. Taco Bell and Del Taco are a great place to run through and get 10 tacos for almost nothing. Or you can get 20 of their little mini cheese quesadillas for $10 or something like that. And they're happy to throw that together for you. So try to come up with something other than just pizza and fried chicken, because inevitably we always have that left over. So, also, I'm gluten intolerant, so if you consider that other people might be as well. So if you can think of some things that don't have wheat or breading, just, or maybe a vegetarian item here and there, just so we don't have all meat or all stuff that might be inedible to some, just something to consider. So, inevitably, there's going to be, that person will probably be bringing something on their own that they can eat in case there's nothing else, but just keep that in mind. And then what is also going to be happening is... myself and Magnum and whoever else, if Papa Tony can help out, we're going to be bringing some sodas and some ice and cups and plates and that sort of thing.
I've got a really big cooler, and I can bring ice.
And we'll bring that stuff. If there's something specific that you'd like to drink, that's fine. I think probably a good idea to stay away from alcoholic beverages, just in consideration of those who may not drink. Let's just keep it to the soft drinks.
And if you're a big fan of the Cooking Network and you got this recipe that you wanted to try out, it could be a good time to try that out. If you got, into flaming flaming balls or whatever it is, yeah. Bring
chocolate salty balls.
This is balls. This is your opportunity to shine. It could be a good way to find a daddy too if you're looking for all.
We know under all that leather, there's some Susie Homemakers out there just waiting to come out. So
break out those Cuisinarts and those KitchenAid appliances and get your ass in that kitchen and start cooking. Damn it!
Right. So it'll be fun. I hope to see you all there for that because I think it'll be a really good time.
And then after we stuff ourselves on May 7th, we're going to come back on May 14th, the following Wednesday, and we're going to follow up from, it's going to be a follow-up from the open relationship, polyamory relationships. There was some afterburner after that, and men had some concerns about, well, what about guys who are not in the family, single guys, and so what we're going to do is follow up with that. And we got a couple of people that Brent is going to had that one a little bit, or is that enough?
Well, it's still coming together, but it is a follow-up from the prior discussion around relationships, and we do want to hear from everybody, and so whether you're in one or not in a relationship, and you're looking, and you're not looking, and it'll be a good opportunity to have more discussion around the topic of relationships, because that had a lot of momentum, whenever that was.
And did you want Dad Ron to still kind of do the tail end of that, just kind of offering some like tips and pointers of like how he got started and things like that, and answer some questions in that regard, and just give some ideas?
Yeah, we've been right now here talking, okay. We've been emailing, and we're coming up with
something. Okay.
Cool. Let's see what's happening. Anything else happening? All right. There is an event that's happening on the 8th, the Fisting Fetish Bed.
Oh, yes.
Fisting Brotherhood San Diego, which is kind of a special interest group that has kind of spawned off of Fetishmen San Diego. And basically that's going to be at San Diego Eagle meeting for their Red Hanky Night, and that's kind of the kickoff party for that. And Papa Tony's kind of heading that up. And did you have anything?
Yeah, I'm building the team that's going to be running that. There's been a huge hungry need for that in our community for years, since 2007, when Bill Freer stepped back from running Red Hanky San Diego, which was pretty much a worldwide organization. He was running it really well. Well, this right now, counting what he just told me, I think we have 63 members already. Okay, and that's only been a week. Okay, so it's going really, really well. We're adding people every day now. I mean, there's probably more. I'll have to go back and look. But the idea behind the group is you can find play partners online, but it's not enough. Sometimes you need this kind of camaraderie too, and that's really what the intention of the group is. It's all about being part of something larger than yourself where you feel you're always welcome, like, yay, Norm's here, Norm, from the old TV show. But anyway, but that same sort of thing, but it's meant to be about actually getting to know the guys that are around you so that everybody has fun, everybody can relax, and everybody feels safe, as opposed to the usual internet meat market. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it's going to be fun.
And that's a good thing that spent off from that, because show of hands, was that tried to get into the fisting deal?
Squeezed in. You had to use Crisco to get into the door.
That was like
that was one thing that I mentioned. I'm not really good with large groups.
Right.
And with this many people being interested, I learn better in a small group.
I get
because
that.
I've never been really good with social dynamics, so if there's a large number of friends, I'm kind of in socialize mode rather than learn mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I need like one-on-one or like two or three.
But see, that's something you can negotiate for later. Yeah.
I can recommend a tutor.
Uh-huh.
No.
So, because If there's enough people interested in it, I'm sure there can be some arrangements made for small groups.
I mean, I definitely, at some point coming up, I definitely want Kobe and I to, Kobe, that one right there. That's the man, officer. No, I want Kobe and I to teach from the top standpoint. The Chris did a great job explaining from the bottom standpoint, but teaching the seduction, the relaxation, the, you know, all the stuff that's around it in order to get to the, you know, to the prize, that's something I think we're pretty damn good at, and that would be a really good lesson to come up, because I did some of that, he did some of that, but there was a lot of distraction there that night, and I'd like it to be more of a formal type class. And I'm sure you could recommend a few people that could help. All right.
Okay, I was going to say we've got the one last thing at the very top there. We've got the Cigars and Boots, which is starting June 7th now.
Yay.
No May event, starting June 7th. Things did not go as planned with the send-off they were doing for Scotty, apparently, and so we were going to initially support that event, and due to unforeseen circumstances, it's not happening. So we'll just start June 7th. It was too late to change anything again for the third time. I didn't want to do that to Red Wing. They're being really gracious with us, especially since we had moved the first one. And so we're just going to start on June 7th with that. This is cigars. This is pipes. This is cigarettes. This is dip. This is people who don't have anything to do with cigars or cigarettes or anything, but just want to come and hang out in a more chill, you know, non-woompa-woompa-woompa club atmosphere. So feel free to come as long as you can tolerate the smoke. And, you know, we'll be having a good time with that. This one's going to be cut a little short, probably. You know, Dad Ron and I and the pub will probably be there through 7 just in case anybody shows up late. But we're also having a play party that night that Kobe is helping to get set up for us, which is very, very, very nice of him. He's being very gracious, and the people that are with him are being very gracious and opening up their home for that. So we're going to cut things slightly short for this. The happy hour stuff all ends at 6 anyway, so it's not like a big deal if everybody starts to make their way over there, you know, in that fashion. But we've got a few hours to do the cigars thing, and then if you want to continue to smoke or, you know, do any, you know, cigar play while they're doing the play party, that's totally fine. So it'll be a, you know, traveling party starting at Red Wing and then moving over there. So
now the big event.
And now a bigger event, another event. There's a lot of stuff going on. We got the Folsom Street Fair movie coming up, and this in conjunction with the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival that's coming to town at the end of May. And it's going to be over at the North Park Theater. And that whole week is going to be fetish men activities. And one of the big things that we're going to have, we've got a lot of things that's surrounding the film festival and surrounding that particular movie, is that we're going to have what we call a flog swarm. And a flog swarm is going to be the event where instead of having a St. Andrew's cross, we're going to have human beings portrayed across. We'll have somebody on the cross, and we'll have someone flogging. And we're going to do this in a celebratory way, and we're going to do it in a tribal way. And all this is going to be happening over at the Sunset Temple behind Claire de Lune's in North Park, right up the street here. And leading up to that, I'm going to speak for me. I missed the flaw swarm that Papa Tony had at Numbers. It was last year sometime. And it was during the Harness Nights.
It was almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago, and it was advertised, and I'm really big on getting somewhere late, and when I got there, the party was over, and I was really disappointed. And so we're having that again. I get another opportunity to participate in that, and I'm really excited about it. And what we're going to do to lead up into that, we're going to have a pre-flog swarm, like, training.
Flog-a-rama.
And I'm going to stand though. We're going to have a flog-off and And Kobe has graciously, again, has offered his place as compound. And I'll just give a little description about Kobe's place. Kobe's place is between Living Grove and right near the end of going out east in 94 and Federal. It is a big compound. It has a swimming pool. It has this big view of the mountain range, the El Cajon Mountains. It's privacy because it's up over some other homes. where you can, I went to a play party there one time, and it was like off the chain. People were doing mummification in the pool. There were flogs for them. They even have a garage where they can have a dungeon. The place is very playful. And I want to invite everybody to show up. We're going to have 2 days that we're going to do it. And it's going to be, the first day is going to be May 21st on a Wednesday. And we're going to start a little bit earlier. Papa Tony is going to arrange all that. And what we're going to do, we're going to all meet out there. Please come out there. If you can get, ask your boss, can you get off work early a little bit? And invite your boss and bring him.
Yeah.
It's going to be a family thing. We're gonna come out there, and then what we're going to do, we're going to get some orientation. We're going to set up how this human flog swarm is going to look, and then we're going to do some practice.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to know each other.
Yep.
And we're gonna make connection to have this event be off the chain. And if you can't make it that Wednesday on the 21st, Saturday the 24th, we're going to follow up on the same thing over at Kobe's place, at Kobe's compound. So it's going to be the 21st and the 24th. So mark your calendars. Please come on out. We're looking for all bodies and all types to participate in that. And I'm committed for this thing to go off. And so what we're going to do after that, well, then the next week comes around, and on the Saturday, May 31st, is when we're going to have the flog swarm. And we're recruiting, if you know people who can drum, they're into tribal music. I went to Earth Day last Sunday, and one of my boys, who I really like, his name is Thoth, and his girlfriend Lydia, you may have seen him. He's like a human, musical thing. I can't describe him, but he is.
One man band,
and his wife, she's a trained operetta singer. I'm really working on getting him there to show up and be to be a part of that. I know some people who drum, so if you got people who are into drumming, ask them, try to recruit them, and we're gonna have this thing tribal. We're looking for some DJs and music, and we're just gonna have a whole afternoon of flog swarming and just getting off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll let Papa Tony speak just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Well, what makes it easy for me to say just a little bit is he said it so beautifully. I mean, that was beautiful, and it was from the heart, and he covered all the major stuff. The only thing I can add, I'm going to bring out some emotional blackmail. I really, really want every man here to be there. I really, truly do. I promise you, it's going to be life-changing and extraordinary. Let's face it, the term flog swarm, I made that up. I made up the concept. Before it happened the first time, nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. I could see it clear as it could be. But it took a lot of arm wrestling to get people into line, and then he suddenly got it. Like, oh my God, this is great. You talk to anybody that was part of it. Who was part of the last flog swarm? Show of hands.
Yeah, right. I think I was there in numbers.
Mm-hmm. So then,
I was actually there, but I got there late, so I was observing rather than participating.
Got it. Brian?
Well, Brian was the one.
Yeah, why don't you say just a little bit about what it was like for you?
It was just very communal. It was really good. There was a lot of swapping off, flogged in there. It was very intense. It was a good event.
Yeah. And unfortunately, in the environment that we were in, it was so horribly noisy that we couldn't then invite everybody else to be a part of it. It was so noisy that I could stand next to somebody and scream in their ear as loud as I could, and they still wouldn't be able to hear me. I think the DJ was deaf or something. So we won't have that problem this time. It's going to be communal, it's going to be sweet, it's going to be absolutely the most intimate thing, and I'm really going to arm wrestle you guys. Please be a part of this, commit to this, RSVP, say that you're going to be there, and do it for me. That's if you honor any part of me, be a part of this. I want my brothers there. We're going to have a lot of people from other groups that are going to be a part of it too. It's going to be something that is massively important. I mean, not just for us, for a lot of cities are watching, and not as in judgment, but as in envy. The board of directors for the Folsom Street Fair are coming down for this weekend, and they want to be a part of the flog swarm because they want to see what makes San Diego so magical. What makes San Diego so magical is in this room. Really. We're the ones who set the tone. We're the ones who set the style. I want all my brothers there. Let's play. Let's have this be the most glorious, delightful thing, and trust me, it'll always be what you want it to be because it's going to keep shifting and changing based on whatever's happening. It's going to be really, really intensely powerful. And so, okay, like I said, you're going to be reading about it. The moment you see the thing that says RSVP to sign me up for event. Sign me up for event at gmail.com.
It's up there below the words play party. It's written up there.
Then please do. I want to see all of you guys there. I'll be terribly, terribly disappointed if you don't go. Is that emotional, you know, blackmail enough?
Yeah.
But no, really, this is something that I want to share with my favorite people. It really is. I promise you, you're going to love it. The reason why I'm saying this is because we have gotten a tiny number of RSVPs. Everybody's been sitting back and saying, well, I have my judgments about this. Fuck that. Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
Okay?
So look at it like if you're getting ready to go play with somebody, you really don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, you already made all these plans and everything, and you really don't know how it's going to be, but you show up anyway, and then it end up probably being the best day you had, you know, the best play session that you had. So I just want to use that, try to frame it around that as get on the email, get on the RSVP and sign up for that and let this event happen. And
an obvious point, when was the last time we led you wrong? Really? Take an extra step. This is a little risky and a little strange and a little odd. I promise the water's really fine. Come on in. Thank you.
All right, and I'm going to turn this over to John, and I just wanted to just say one thing. We're not going to do a whole everybody introduce themselves, but I want to say I see some new faces in the crowd, and I just want to welcome and extend you and you and you and everybody, somebody else that I don't recognize has been coming here, is welcome to Fetish Men San Diego, and just come in here, relax, read, don't bite. And we will come
unless
up
you
and
want
swarm
to
you. Come up and swarm these guys, you know, at the break. Okay, and make these guys feel welcome. So I'm really glad that you showed up.
I would like to say one thing before we start. I'm always looking for resources to make my life easier. I found out the center is going to have a senior resource fair soon in a couple weeks for people that are 50 and older. So if you're interested, look on their website. There's details there.
If you could send me the link, that would be very helpful.
Okay. Yeah, or I could just post it online. I just thought with everybody here, some people may be interested in it.
There's a couple over here that are over 50.
Yeah, I'm old. I'll be 53 in a couple of weeks, and I own it. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for that. So without further ado, I'm going to hand this over to one of our members who's been coming for a while. John's been coming here for longer than I have, maybe 6 or 8 months or longer than that. And tonight he has a special presentation he wants to put on tonight about size and the gay community. And I'll let him tell more about that. And this is John over here. John Somerville, everybody give it up for John.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. And we're going to cover this as far as size matters. As I kind of did it on two things. It's leaning towards things related to discrimination because of body size. It is also a little bit about endowment for a few people that did respond to that. So we will get into a little of that as well. I kind of figured that topic might be a little more of a hard one to broach with a lot of people. So I wasn't expecting a huge response on that, but there is a little bit there. I did invite Bear San Diego, but I don't know if anyone was able to make it tonight. I don't remember everybody from Bear San Diego. Is anyone from Bear San Diego here? Okay. But a lot of their guys did go ahead and respond on our to the online survey that I did. I figured a lot of them might not be able to come or might feel a little uncomfortable showing up to a Fetish Men event, even though I assured them no one was going to tie them up and beat them unless they asked them to. But what I did want to start out with is I printed off all of the responses where there was any bit of information provided about some sort of discrimination, size discrimination that people have experienced. So I'm going to pass these around. If what I'm asking everybody to do to take one, but if you take one of these, you're going to be reading it out loud. So these are responses from everybody who posted them online, with one exception where someone provided their name, Brett. He was like, Brett's like, I don't care. You can tell people. So it's whatever. But I asked it to be anonymous just so that everybody could feel like they could share something about their past without having to have that information, you know, be pointed directly at them. That way people could be a little more free to say what they will. So I'm going to just send these around, and if everybody who would like to read one out loud will take one. They won't take long. They're very short. We'll be doing this, and then we'll be taking a break. And if anybody else... if anybody else wants to share anything after that, or I also printed out some of these surveys, they're real short. If on the bio break, we're going to give you a little extra time, so if anybody else wants to write one out and hand that to me for someone to read, we'll cover those after the fact. I didn't want anybody to feel left out in case there was anybody who couldn't get online or didn't know about it for some reason. And then the second half of this will just kind of be... we'll just kind of be everybody kind of responding and talking about it. If anyone has anything specific they want to share, if anybody, you know, it's just going to be kind of open mic night after that for anybody to kind of talk about anything that they think might be applicable or helpful in these circumstances. So one thing I will say about the responses, a couple of them really, really took my breath away with some of the things that people will openly say to another person about what they think is wrong with that person's body to their face. And I was a little shocked. And this is not all people who were necessarily overweight. This is also people who might be slender or really slender, who had some sort of experience with, say, the bear community, which I'm a member of. One of the things that we're experiencing in among the bears is some of the people who are in smaller in size or stature have experienced some backlash for their wanting to participate. They're into bigger guys, they're into big hairy dudes, but they themselves are not one. And, you know, we refer to those people as chasers. And a lot of those chasers have had some really kind of horrible experiences over, you know, trying to do things with the bears or trying to do things with some of the other big boy groups that exist out there, the ones that refer themselves as chubs. You know, most of the time everybody's pretty inclusive and the bears are supposed to be about brotherhood. But there has been some circumstances. Certain websites, bear websites, won't let them join. Just crazy things like that. And so it was interesting that I got some of that feedback as well, that just as much as, you know, people who are oversized or plus size may experience discrimination, people who are on the skinny side also get a lot of it too. And that was a really unique perspective that I had. So does anybody else want one to read? I have one more. All right, so I'm going to start with story time. I'm going to read a little story. Jerry Moreau, I believe his name is.
Howard Jerry.
Yes, who many of you know. I know him by his first name and always forget his last name. He actually sent me a really good article that's not too long that I thought was really apropos for tonight's topic. The title of it was Skinny Dudes and Big Boys Stigmatizing Men's Bodies. And this came from the Good Men Project site, which has a lot of really neat stuff. You know, a lot of really empowering information, you know, kind of leans a little bit towards some self-help stuff, some self-empowerment stuff on there. So I thought this was a great story to read for this specific event. Okay. I ran into one of my favorite cafes the other day and saw this tall, rather lanky guy in front of me. Took me a few seconds to realize it was my friend, and I blurted out, "Hey," I wondered who this string bean was in front of me. We laughed, but then I instantly felt a tremor pass through me. Intuition was talking to me again. We made some small talk about the rain and our relative plans, and then I went to go to my place to order. I stood there waiting for my mocha and scone to be wrapped up and felt horrible. I'd made a comment about his body and had no idea how that made him feel. After giving it some thought, I finally walked back over to him. I said, "Hey, I wanted to apologize for calling you a string bean." "No way, it's cool," he said, automatically trying to smooth things over. People say things like that to me all the time. I explained that I had no doubt they did, but it wasn't right for me to comment on his physical appearance because, in truth, I have no idea how he feels about his body. I also don't know how it affects his sense of being a man. It could have meant any number of things to him, and it just isn't cool to stigmatize people. He looked at me and said, "You know, people say that to me all the time, in fact, and it really bugs me. You know, it's different coming from you. I appreciate you saying something. People call me super skinny all the time, and I think to myself, would you call me super fat if the roles were reversed?" A little food for thought there. He made such a great point. We do this double standard, it seems, when it comes to men and our bodies. My friend and I chatted a little bit more, and I felt better about owning my insensitivity. And I thought more about it for the rest of the day. What might have been an innocent comment I would have considered a joke or general observation actually had an impact. In this country, we have many, many body types, but I think they fall into basically three camps. Like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, we've got small, medium, and large. We have average-sized people, and they are off the radar of being stigmatized, for the most part, at least as far as their bodies are concerned. Then we have small and or skinny guys, and then really tall or larger men, who we sometimes lovingly refer to as big boys. Like, yeah, he's certainly a fan of meat and potatoes. He's a big boy. And like my friend said, we assign value and make comments about physical appearance. We can deliver it like a joke, the way I did, but the impact is still felt. It's a comment about how someone looks that may seem to have a larger value judgment added. From talks with my friends, I get there are seemingly benign yet extremely annoying comments. The ones heard all the time. Hey, you're super tall, damn. What's it like bumping your head into doorways all the time? Hey, you're so little, I thought you were a kid. You should work out more, bulk up a little. I'm 5'5 and get called a young man or boy quite often. It's really weird considering that I'm neither. And then there are the comments that aren't so benign, the ones that are blatantly cruel and unkind. Depending on the context and the person, we may appear to value skinny guys more. There's certainly preference for the lanky, slim frame, as well as the well-built, muscular body in the modeling industry. We value big boys as being great for football or wearing flannel, drinking beer and fashioning excellent beards. Well, I hope so. Use words like teddy bear-like to describe these men. It is because their bodies resemble cushiony comfort or stuffed animals. Or whatever, I'm not really sure. So anyways, the article goes on and talks more and more about that. And I actually printed out the whole thing. I didn't want to read the whole thing tonight, but I wanted to give you guys a general idea. And I've actually printed the article out because I found it to be quite, you know, fully covering the idea of body image and how people perceive things. And I'm going to send these around in case anybody wants a copy of it, just for something to read for your own edification.
Leatherati.com did a recent series on body image.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll certainly have to post something up about that in the follow-up.
I'm sure they did, but okay. I'm not 100% sure.
And if you guys don't want a physical copy of it, you know, if you want to just tear off one of the bottoms and get the link at the bottom of it, or I'll post it online. But it was just a really neat kind of covering of, like, okay, it's not just all one-sided. It's not just all people of size. It could be people that are skinny, you know, and sometimes that can actually be a rather bad, you know, terminology to use for someone who's slender or, you know, of small stature, you know, and sometimes we forget that it can actually go that way too. So, anyways. So, what I'm going to do is, since this is starting to make its way around, while we're doing that, I'm going to have people read over the responses that we got. Basically, it's gonna ask a few questions. It's gonna ask about their body type. It's gonna ask about whether or not they identify as a bear or possibly a chaser. Some of these guys got specific because there's a million and one terms out there for bears and chasers and otters and all that stuff. And you know, it gets a little confusing. If we come upon one that seems a little more obscure, I'll try to give a little bit of information about that, because you know the bear community kind of has their whole subset of furry critters. So, but I'm going to go ahead and have Bob start with his, and we'll just go around and do these.
Okay. So this one, they listed a body type of chubby, leading towards super chub.
That means a really, really big guy. That this is something that a lot of the chub community really, you know, they're kind of like looked at as kind of like their own, you know, kind of really objectified group of people. There are some people that like really, really big guys, and we're talking 500 pounds plus, and that's what a super chub would be.
And y'all may have heard, I don't hear much from anymore, but it's called the Mirth and Girth Club, and it has nothing to do with the cock size.
And that's where a lot of this terminology came from, too.
Okay.
Sorry.
He lists an endowment of 6 inches. In response to treated poorly, he says yes. Poor treatment for what? He says body type. And then the description is, he says, it was a situation where we had developed an online loving relationship that lasted over a year. When he became aware of my size, he explained in detail how ill it made him to have thought of us being together.
There goes the glasses.
Yeah. Of course, the big question there is, was it really necessary to go into that much detail about that?
Yeah, really.
So.
No.
No.
That's of course not.
That's bloody rude.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, speaking personally, I identify as a moose, not a bear, not an otter. I'm tall, I'm hairy, and I'm always horny. All right. Let me see. This gentleman, body type is average, bear, chub chaser. No, I guess that was not applicable. Okay. Endowment, 3 to 6 inches, treated poorly, yes. And for what? Body type. For a time, I've been inhibited based on my self-image of being unattractive due to having a gut instead of a six-pack.
Okay. So some of these people just talked about their own insecurities that they have, too. Yeah. It may not be that they've necessarily had someone directly discriminate against them, but there's a perceived or inferred discrimination that's actually happening where they hear enough talk out there from, you know, these casual comments that made are like, ooh, he's really let himself go. He's got a little bit of a pooch on him now. And, oh, he used to be so hot. And it's amazing. You know, you may not even be saying that to that person, so you think it's not being hurtful, but you never know how even your friends might be processing that information and what that may be doing to their own self-identity and their own self-worth.
This one says body type bulky. Bear, chub, or chaser says, I don't identify, but people consider me a bear. Endowment 6 to 8. Treated poorly, yes. Poor treatment for what? Body type. Description of the situations I've been both treated poorly and well due to body type. The worst is being rejected sexually by a lover for gaining weight.
Body type, average to fit, bear, club chaser. I'm hairy, but not sure if I'm big enough to qualify as a bear. Also not skinny enough to be an otter, or probably too old to be a cub. Endowment, I'm pretty average at 6 inches. Treated poorly, yes. Poor treatment for what? Body type. Description of the situation. I do know I get dismissed by some of the pretty boys, but that's fine because they're just not my type anyway. I enjoy the bear community. They are a friendly bunch and I have a great time at Bear Night at Numbers. Yes, I wonder sometimes how exactly I fit in this community. This is Brett, by the way. It's cool if I'm not being
an honor. Ballsy Brett.
And Brett, speaking on behalf of the bear community, however you fucking want to identify,
you can identify
however the hell you want. And if people don't like that, never tell you that they don't think that that's okay or they want to try and pigeonhole you into something you aren't, they're not really trying to communicate what true bear brotherhood is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as a side point, I was one of the founding members of Bear San Diego decades ago. And I had a lot to do with the philosophy of the group in the beginning, which was very much what happened with Fetishman San Diego. I stayed true to the dream. What you're seeing around you now is what we were really intending, which was be yourself, be loved for who you are. Continue, please.
So just real quick, so some of them understood bears as big and hairy, right? But is that not necessarily,
No. You will find... This is something that's gone around the internet for years and years. What makes a bear and what doesn't make a bear? For the predominant opinion is if you identify with the bear community or you consider yourself a bear in some fashion or another, whether you be a little furry, you know, a little scruffy, whatever, if you just like hanging out with that group of guys, you know, or attracted to some of them, enjoy that vibe, if you want to call yourself a bear, call yourself a bear. And if anybody says that's not okay, tough.
All right.
And if I can add to that, I've been in so many bear beauty contests. And then one of the questions I always do is how do they word it? What makes you a bear?
Right.
It's a state of mind.
It is.
Okay? You can be big and not hairy, and you're still a bear. You can be big and hairy, and you're a bear, because there's all sorts of polar bears and grizzly bears and otters and all this kind of stuff. It goes on and on and on.
Bear spelled with B-E-H-R, like the paint, and that means you're big but not furry.
Muscle bear. So
right.
So there's a whole thing, but I wanted to go back to your thing about being a cub. Just like being a boy, it's a state of mind. There's 60-year-old boys and there's 20-year-old boys. It's what you are in here. It's what you believe. The thing that makes a cub is because you're frisky and you're playful and you're silly. That's the difference between a cub and a bear. The bear is more serious. But the cub is more of a playful.
I'm a cub.
A cub is more of the silly, playful type thing.
And just like with everything else, you can be a cub and be a total top or a dom top or anything else. It doesn't follow any rules that just because you've got that distinction that you can't be a cub and, you know, and bend everybody over. That's totally fine too. So don't let you tell them.
Some people go their whole life and never know. And when you said the last remark, this one said, "Oh my God, fuck up."
it's all just be who you want to be. Don't get into the labels too much. But it's all who you want to be, who you feel like you are.
Okay, so next person.
Bulky, the body type is bulky, muscular. Bear, chub, chaser is NA. Endowment is 8 inches. Treated poorly, yes. And treated poorly for what? Description of situation? I thought I was a bear, and I thought a bear was a hairy man. I did not think a bear of being a big frame, big belly guy. While living in San Francisco, I went to a bear bar and got lots of looks, but was told by two different guys that the bar was probably not the best place.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So basically, this person was muscular and furry, and he went to an event that was predominantly held by a bunch of guys who were big and bulky, but not necessarily muscular. And so they told him, "You don't belong here. You're out of place because of the fact that you don't fit what we consider to be part of that subculture." So once again, wrong. So
next, Daddy.
Body type, bulky. Bear, chub, chaser. I don't know, maybe a cub. Endowment, 6 inches, 8 inches. Treated poorly, yes. And treated poor treatment for what body type? Description, I have heard comments at work about being heavy. That shirt makes you look thinner. Have you lost weight? Are you sure that's going to fit you?
So just basically, you know, it's amazing that even if you compliment someone, it can also be like, oh, they're focusing on my body type, and people think that they're being kind by saying, have you lost weight? I've said this to a lot of people myself, and never thought about the fact that it's like, oh, that means that to that person, I'm under the microscope, and I'm being watched, and, you know, and it's, you know, for various reasons, it's a good idea to be in shape and things like that. But there's a lot of people that really, really struggle with that, and there's extenuating circumstances that might lead to their weight. Or there are people who are actually healthy as big guys. They don't have any, you know, health problems. They do a lot of exercising, but they're just not toned muscular people, and they have a beer gut. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem. But, you know, we all have a tendency to, we're so image-focused in every community, even among the bear community, It seems so funny that a group that was started because this was a group of people who were stigmatized by the rest of the gay community is in among themselves stigmatizing other people because of the fact that they're wanting to have their own kind of hierarchy or A-list group of people and this, everything else. And it's the most silly, ridiculous thing, but it happens. And it's just mind-boggling to think that no matter what, even if your group is a group of people that, you know, and this can happen in the leather community too, even if your group of people is stigmatized by the community at large, we have a tendency sometimes to even do that to some of our own, you know, eat some of our own, and it's really appalling. Next person.
Body type, shabby, bear, cow chaser, bear, endowment 6 to 8 inches, treated poorly, yes. For treatment for what body type? Description of the situation. I was dancing with my shirt off at a dance hall and felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned to see a slender, young, effeminate man earnestly trying to catch my eye. As he had something important to say. Excuse me, he said. You look a lot better if you put your shirt back on. My first impression was to punch his lights out. But I thought of something far more effective and long-lasting. I say, on your 50th birthday, I want you to remember this conversation. When you were unnecessarily cruel to the nicest guy in the bar. And I walk away.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Nope. Yeah. Other than that scenario, I'm getting a lot of love aimed at my daddy belly. The boys just can't stop rubbing this hair on it and seems to find it alluring.
That was me.
Love it.
Now, don't we all wish that when something like that is said that we could come up with a great answer to that so fast? But there you go. You have a framework from which to work with to kind of make that your own and kind of say something back to them. You know, you don't necessarily have to say something back to them. I mean, you could just go, wow, you're an incredibly rude person and walk away and that, you know. But, you know, I mean, what gall of that person to tap him on the shoulder and say, you'd look better with your shirt on. You know, how dare you? And it's like, oh, the karma that you're going to be getting for that, you're going to fall apart by 50 probably. You know, just and he now will have those words ringing in his ears
on his 50th birthday.
So, yeah. So good job.
It's Papa. A curse.
Good job, Papa Tom.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Okay. Next one.
This person is a skinny otter with an 8+ endowment, has been treated poorly. And they don't fit the image for various groups, so I'm somewhat ignoring.
You know, they don't have exactly what it is to quote unquote call themselves a bear, or they don't have what it is to be a twink. Mm-hmm. They're too furry to be a twink. They don't want to shave. They feel sexy with their body hair the way that it is. And you know, I mean, that's, you know, we kind of call that like a normal gay or a regular gay, and they just kind of unfortunately wander through things with, like, you know, everybody wants to put a label on everything, you know, and you know that person kind of sees themselves as an otter kind of grudgingly somewhat because of the fact that we're so obsessed with putting labels on things in our community because everybody has to be put into some subgroup or else we, you know, it makes people uncomfortable for some reason. You can't just be you. And, you know, that's why the bear community is great and why it's also not so great, because it kind of puts pressure on people to possibly try and make themselves that they're really not. Yeah, we can go ahead and take a break at this point. We're going to let's do like a 15-minute break. If anybody else wants to fill out one of the anonymous surveys, at this point, there's pens and surveys up there. If anybody wants to do that, please feel free to do so. We'll add those to be read. If not, I've got some alternative stuff to talk about after we finish with these surveys.
If they so wish, and maybe talk a little bit about body size discrimination that has been experienced specifically in the leather community. So this has kind of been a little heavy on the bear side.
But I kind of figured that might be the case, especially since they have experienced it for the most part in the community. But I figured there might be a few things to talk about with the leather and fetish folk as well. So who is our next person? Go for it.
Body type, chubby. Endowment, 6 to 8 inches. Was treated poorly, yes. For what? Description of the situation. Was serviced through a glory hole, and the guy really liked my cock. He wanted to be fucked in his booth, but when he saw the rest of me, he suddenly wasn't interested any longer.
Ouch. What kind of glory hall person is that? Pig is that?
She was smart. She would just back their ass up.
Exactly. How about I just punch you in both eyes and you won't be able to see me anyway?
Blindfold.
Yeah, blindfold. There you go. So, anyways, there you go. Enough said. That one's pretty straightforward.
Well, I'm DJ, and I have my own thing.
Okay.
Okay, I've always fancied bears, and I've always had an affinity for bigger guys, and I've also liked normal-sized people. I kind of, like, didn't discriminate. For me, I sort of dealt with people from the inside out.
You are bisexual.
I was just, like, what I am called is a person with body dysmorphic disorder, thinking that I'm bigger than I am. And I've learned through therapy that even though it may not be true, I still sometimes actually believe that I'm fat. And I'm so afraid of that type of rejection that when I experience as myself, because I've always pretty much been the same size, so I thought, okay, well, I'll try to gain some weight. And so I'm up to 169.5 from 150. But most people can't tell from some of it's muscle. But the thing is that it was kind of heartbreaking to experience that rejection both ways. And there are some who are just pigs. They just want something dark, something chocolate, something filled with caramel. I can relate to that, too. But sometimes I'm afraid to approach the subject or afraid to approach the person because of past scars. And the one time that I made myself available, I got raped. And that was beyond my control. And I got mind fucked. And ever since then, I've been afraid to reach out. So the thing is, when I came to this group, the group itself changed everything. And Papa Tony just, and you guys have been so gracious that you showed me it is okay to be myself. I've never really been myself. I've just been someone's partner, someone's lover, you know, someone, I always belong to someone. And the first time that I'm free, I belong to him. And he's my first lover from way back when. And that passion, that intensity, it hasn't died. And I love that no matter what happens or where he goes, because he will leave, I know that I'll be safe here. And I can come and I have shoulders to cry on. And if I'm really wounded, I can be spanked to snap me out of it. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, DJ. That's awesome. DJ.
This gentleman is a chubby obese.
May I ask you to be as loud as he was?
Oh, sure. This person is chubby or obese. He's 5 feet 5 inches tall and weighs 320. Bear chub chaser lists polar bear.
That's an older big bear.
With white hair?
Yes, usually.
Cute tip. Endowment is 8 inches. Treated poorly, yes, for body type. Description of the situation. As a youngster, I always got teased about my weight. Fattest boy in 4th through 6th grade. As a teenager, if I did participate in team sports, I was always forced to play on the Skins basketball side, as the other kids got their jollies watching my boobs and fat jiggle. As a young adult, there was always the behind-your-back remarks or little kids pointing. From age 30 to 50, I didn't really go to public functions anymore. Family functions were always a chore because of crazy uncles who thought they had the answers to everything. Managed to admit to myself that I was gay by age 53, and I met my husband about the same time. But we were both into chubbies, so we got along great. I still get sideways glances and finger pointing by a lot of the public of any age. I find that it's even more pronounced when we chubbies are out in a group. Didn't really have any issues in employment in Michigan until after about 30 years at the same job. A new business model emerged, and business didn't want to employ older workers at high pay, but instead younger workers at low pay. No benefits and part-time. Regards, the Homestead team.
And Homestead was the site that actually I did the surveys through. So, you know, basically, kids are really mean, aren't they? And it's amazing that, you know, we mature emotionally in so many ways, and yet as adults, we can be caught doing the same exact things as far as body type that kids did. You know, I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, the bears have kind of learned to kind of make it their own of making a spectacle of themselves out and about and showing how much they don't really care about it. I mean, and part of them still does. But, you know, we'll kind of invade, we'll go in a big group, kind of like a gear invasion, and we'll do a bear invasion of a restaurant or something like that. And you should see the looks on people's faces. It's so much fun. Because they're like, I don't know who these people are. Is this like a biker group or something? You know, even though we're all in just jeans and t-shirts, they'll be like, are you guys all related? Is this? And they have no idea who this big group of furry guys is that just has stumbled into their local restaurant or watering hole. And it can be a lot of fun. But, you know, you still recognize when people kind of give you that, like, oh my God, who are these? You know, and you never know for sure if it's because they've perceive that you're gay, or if it's because of the fact they notice that you're all really large, or mostly really large. So, you know, but it's, for the most part, it's like, just own it, you know, and that's what a lot of them, that's what the bears are supposed to be about, that's what this group's supposed to be about, just owning what you are and not apologizing for it, not feeling ashamed for it, not caring what other people think about it, just be you.
You know, I just want to add, I think being overweight is the one target that nobody seems to care about offending people. Everybody seems to think that overweight people are worthy of you know, their scorn. And I grew up in a family of overweight people. My father, my brother, and my sister were all overweight. And I have a lot of respect for the fact that no matter what they tried to do about it, they couldn't lose weight. And yet, I have friends who are tall and slender who just can't stop pointing at people in restaurants who are overweight. And I say to them, you have no idea how lucky you are that you're tall and thin, if you don't want to be overweight. You have no idea how lucky you are. Mm-hmm. And there's something about being overweight. Nobody seems to care about offending other people. And I just find that remarkable. Nobody would say anything about somebody being a person of color anymore, and more people don't want to say anything about somebody being gay. But if somebody's overweight, they just don't seem to think that's offensive to say something.
I want to interject something as well. I think you're touching on something that, you know, is important. Is if you know people that are overweight and have problems with it, that struggle with it,
speak up.
If you know people in your family or friends that struggle with their weight, whether they want to be bigger or not, you can empathize with that. And when you do hear comments from your friends, I think it's you know, it's your place to put them in their place, essentially. Let them know that, you know, this isn't right. So I second your point.
I have no patience, no tolerance for it, and I don't allow it in my circle of friends. And I have big friends, and I have skinny friends. And most of all, in my family, the best thing that I realized in this family here, you've nurtured us from the inside out. And I've chosen to see the beauty inside people as a conscious choice, and being aware that everyone has a heart, everyone has feelings, everyone has the same pains as a skinny person does. And all I can tell you is that I
love to believe my delusion that love conquers all. Mm-hmm. And that's what I experience here, and that's what I keep coming back. So I'm just, I have to just say, shame on you if you're one of those people.
I think a big part of it is it's a prejudice that people can easily protect behind saying that being overweight is a choice. You know, and they can easily say that, well, I'm concerned about your health. And so it gives them the opportunity to spout off about their opinion and feel protected behind the fact that they're saying, well, I'm just trying to encourage you to be more healthy. And that's really great and wonderful to say for someone who's got a metabolism or a body type that can you know, handle that and change so quickly. But it's not the same for everybody. You know, I admit it, I don't eat right all the time. But when I do diet and I do extra exercise in addition to the walking I already do every day, it's really hard for me to lose weight no matter what. My metabolism just doesn't want to do it. It takes a lot. I mean, I had to get it when I was 17. The only thing that seemed to work is I got a job as a busboy at Soup Plantation. And nothing I ate other than salads and soups, you know, and I, you know, vegetable soup all day and running myself ragged picking up dishes all the time was the only thing that worked. Now, I don't have the same option to do that again. I can't work as a busboy. You know, I can try and incorporate more exercise into my life, but I already walk 5 to 7 miles a day walking dogs. Apparently, my doctor told me that because when you're working, you release a different set of stress hormones, and your exercise may not necessarily benefit you. You know, but I'm going like, hey, you know, I'm really tired when I get home, or I've exercised in the morning before I've gone out to walk dogs. By the time I get to my third or fourth visit, I'm pooped and I still have work yet to do. You know, they want to make it seem like, oh, it's easy, you know, it's so easy, and it's really, really not.
I taught with a really big man and at luncheon, because we're all teachers and we were all concerned about Elvin, and he was eating all this fatty food day after day after day, and when he shared his blood pressure and his cholesterol, he beat all of us. He had lower blood pressure, he had better cholesterol than any of the rest of us, so you can't judge somebody's health by what's on the outside.
And who else did I miss?
I'm not good at talking in front of people, so excuse me.
Just yell it out.
But I have a buddy who's a gainer, and I never realized, I didn't even know what a gainer was until he told me. It's interesting because I'm into big people. But never realized how detrimental it is to tell someone they're lazy, or that they're not eating right, or that they're letting themselves go. Because he has a metabolism like mine. He's 290 pounds because he eats like crazy every day. Works his ass off to stay at that weight, because if he stops, he drops down to my weight and he's unhappy. Now imagine working your ass off and then having everybody tell you that you're lazy and disgusting and fat. And so he would cycle back down to my weight, cycle back up, cycle back down, and it's extremely mentally detrimental to these people.
And it's rough on your system.
When they try so hard and you're so negative towards them.
I'm kind of wanting to share a little something. My cousin Tyler, back in the southern Alabama hills of nowhere, he actually has a disorder that if he's got to drink these special drinks, because he's got to consume over 9,000 calories a day.
A lot.
Or his body starts eating itself. And because when he started trying to play sports as a younger kid, he was trying to gain muscle mass. He was a tiny little shrimp from hell. And he's trying to gain muscle mass, and he finally went to the doctor, and that's what the doctor, they did some type of test where they could test his, metabolism?
Mm-hmm.
And his metabolism was faster than anybody the doctor's ever seen. And so the doctor got him drinking these drinks that were like 2,000 calories, just one glass. It was this weird powder cream mix crap. And he started drinking that stuff, and he started just starting to put on muscle, but he went back to the doctor, and the doctor sat there and said, we're going to have to up it. And after a while, he upped it up to 9,000 calories, and he can maintain muscle mass. But the kid couldn't get an ounce of fat on him. He tried it. I mean, I'm talking about cakes, ice cream, all the sweet shit. He could eat it from sunup to sundown. Nothing.
Dan, did you have something you wanted?
No.
All right. The other interesting thing I just wanted to share real quick about this is we have a lot of people in the bear community that can be somewhat frustrating to some of the bigger guys. These are guys who were big at one point and then will go on a diet and be very successful with their diet and exercise regimen and then lose all their weight. And that's wonderful, and we're happy for them. No one's saying that they shouldn't be big or that they should be big anymore. We want people to be happy with who they want to be, and that's fine. What pisses the rest of them off is when those people start going around preaching to everybody else about what they should be doing. You know, someone will just casually mention, oh, I wish that I could lose weight like you did.
Oh, they turn into bleeding snobs.
Yeah, and then it's the nonstop lecture, you know, Facebook, in person, everything. And so I always advise my friends, I said, hey, something to keep in mind if you're serious about losing weight is do it and be happy with yourself. But please, unless people specifically come up to you and say, tell me exactly what you're doing to lose weight because I would like to do it too, don't offer to help them. Just leave it alone. Because the worst thing you can do to your friends after you've lost all this weight, especially when they're big people, is start preaching to them about how they need to change their life. Unless they're asking for it, it's not wanted. They need to find their own way.
It's like former smokers.
I know it's probably obvious that this crazy body image thing in this country anyway, but we all have it. I know I was growing up, I was really thin, a little skinny little boy, and for years, when I came out gay and I wanted to have muscles, and I just ate and couldn't. Finally, I got about 35 or something. I started putting weight on like crazy, and now it's the other way. You know, I think whatever, but. I think that the point is that everybody's conscious about their bodies. Everybody is. And when people are mean, it's because they're probably insecure about their own appearance.
Exactly.
And so they're, lashing out at other people. And I just want to agree, there's a whole range of people in the world, and like, I love short men. You talk to short men, they're like, well, I'm too short, nobody wants to be really short. You know, I knew this one guy was really thin, everyone said, oh, you're on crystal. You know, and the guy was just thin, probably, he had a high metabolism. I mean, he's a thin guy,
Yep.
So that's my two
cents
for that.
Yeah, we need to talk about body somatotypes. Think of a triangle, okay? Each point of the triangle is an extreme of a body type. Okay, we got mesomorphs. That is somebody who, no matter what they do, they gain muscle. A buddy of mine in the Navy, Jess Lorette, and I know several guys here locally who are like this. They've never been to the gym a day in their lives. All they have to do is look at a set of weights, and they start getting bulky and muscular, and 5% body fat and all that. And there are people out there like that. It's just genetic. Okay, that's an extreme example of a mesomorph. Then we got ectomorph, someone who is very slender, who does not gain muscle mass, who has very little body fat, has long muscle bodies. Okay, human skeleton, in the sideshow. That's an extreme example. Okay, then we've got endomorph. Someone who, no matter what they do, they gain weight. Someone, let's say, think of, what are those guys in the South Pacific?
Samoans.
Yeah, Samoans. 6'8" guy, built like a refrigerator. There's nothing he can do to lose weight. It just happens. It's just genetic. And so then everybody's somewhere inside that triangle. There's very few extremes here in this room. But everybody is somewhere at some point within that triangle. And if we all hold each other to the same standard, which is really what everybody's complaining about, we're comparing ourselves to porn. That's the only thing that's desirable. What you see there. I mean, how many of you guys remember porn from the 80s? And it was all the same fucking thing. And it didn't do a damn thing for me. That the stuff that I like is much more variety, than what I'm supposed to be desiring. So, I'm going to make this brief, I promise. But I was at Black's Beach about 30 years ago, and I was talking with a guy, and I could see he was distracted. He was sitting, we're sitting facing each other, and he's, like this, and I said, what? And I'm turning around and looking, he says, oh my God, look at that. What? What are you talking about? He says, right there, can't you see it? I said, yeah, what? He says, oh, big, fat, Mexican, oh, daddy. I went, yeah. I was looking everywhere but there. My taste didn't go in that direction. But I thought, my God, isn't it great that we're not all after the same fucking thing? Because there'd be a line 22 miles long waiting to have sex with that one perfect item. That we all have, that for every kind of man, there's somebody that likes that kind of man. Isn't that a blessing? Yay!
Yes.
So thank you.
All
All right, we want to go on to the next person? Try and get through these quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry.
Body type skinny, bear chub chaser identifies as bear and chub chaser. Endowment 8+, treated poorly, yes. Poor treatment for both. And then the description, because of my body type and endowment, people oftentimes prejudice what it is that I like to do sexually or what it is that I find sexually attractive. I've always been one who has found both bears and chubby men extremely sexy and attractive. The size of your endowment does not determine how well you can please someone else.
Amen.
Very good. I think that one covered it in amongst itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So average with a little belly, a bear, endowment little, not treated poorly, but before bears were hot, is in quotation, being not skinny and hairy was strange for many, but fashion turned and now the same men like me. So I think they're getting that, like, maybe changing attitudes, perhaps.
Yep.
Kind of
you
I
can
got.
Thank the hipster movement for that one. All of a sudden, beers are in fashion, or in fashion ironically. So, you know, these now all of a sudden, so many people have them, it's been realized again, oh, hey, there's a lot of people that really do look nice with facial hair. I may be biased in some regard, but I think a lot of people look better with facial hair. But there are other people who, you know, and if any of you want to see it, I have a picture of me without facial hair. And apparently, as I'm told, I look fine. I don't like it at all.
No, me neither.
So,
not for me.
So, you know, but it's really cool that that's going to happen. And eventually it'll go away, and then clean-shaven guys will be the in thing again. But, you know, whatever. There's always going to be people that think furry faces are hotter.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Body type obese, bear chub chaser is chubby bear, endowment 6-8, treated poorly, yes. Poor treatment for what body type? Being snubbed in public, at the bar walking past a guy with samples who asked if I'd like one, I said yes, and he said, of course you do.
Oh.
There are innumerable examples that I can give.
Yep, that one's a pretty good one right there. You know, of course you would, being a big guy that loves food that you are. Yeah,
yeah.
So, sorry about that. Turned it on break. And thought I shut it off, and apparently not.
Yeah.
No, I would say, fuck you, bitch. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Either that or it's more fun to go and let their manager know the kind of things that the person giving out the sample trying to sell food is saying to the customers. But,
I did.
So...
This person is slender, lean, not particularly toned, musculature, and mostly height-weight proportionate. They are a bear chaser. They're in the 6-8 range. They have been treated poorly, and they have three things that they say here. Description of the situation, number one, I was a geeky kid, not a jock, and the athletically inclined guys looked down their noses at me. Number two, the same discrimination applied to my life through the 20s and 30s. Even attempts just to be socially interactive and not sexually involved with men who were more fit than I were rejected, and I felt scorned by the popular crowd. And number three, by my 40s, I began to encounter rejection and derision not only for my body type, but for my age, too. But by then, even 30-somethings would call me disparaging names like old fart, and that ageism has been part of the body type rejection ever since then.
Mm. Mm. Wow. So people are associating being overweight with being older, and there shouldn't be a problem with either, you know? And just unbelievable, the kind of things. You can't even be friends with someone because they're not as fit as you. Who does that? So, but it's out there. People do that kind of thing all the time. So, you know, really hard when that happens. When all you're looking for is a friend, it's like, dude, I'm not trying to sleep with you. I just think you're an interesting person. We have things in common. and I'd like to hang out. And that person just can't bring themselves to do it because they're afraid of what other people might think, or they just can't get past it themselves. So, very sad. Opportunity missed, like what Papa Tony was talking about. You know, nicest guy in the bar. Who knows what kind of interesting, you know, fulfilling relationship as a friendship that person may have with the other person, and what was missed out on because they couldn't get past some sort of physical attribute.
Okay. This one, body type. Being a bear, I consider myself to be a medium bear. He's a bear, leather bear. His endowment 6 inches, six. Treated poorly, yes. Body type, and the description of the situation is I was told I'm not big enough for some chasers. I don't understand that, but to each is their own.
Yeah, too big for the small, or not big enough for the small ones, and not small enough for the big ones sometimes. And that happens. It can be really, you know, even me being where I am, you know, it can be really frustrating to have someone go, I really only like skinny guys, and I'm like, oh, everything about you is so perfect, and I want to take you to bed right now. And then to hear that, it's just like, oh. But it happens to everybody, and you know, you just have to get used to rejection. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it still sucks.
And since that one was mine, I want to add another story to it. I went up, and I won't name names, but I went up to help John and Scott move. And they had this cute little cub helping them move. He's probably, what, 23, 24?
24.
Okay, well, Daddy just got a heart on and fell in love right away. And I kept flirting with him, and we had never met before. We kept flirting with him, and he kind of was ignoring me. So he goes and he says, well, Dad, he likes bigger bears. Okay, so I left him alone. Well, needless to say, he and I've talked. He's been in my bed 4 times, so it works out. So, but that particular incident that I was talking about, that was at IBR in San Francisco, and a lot of bears, 2,000-3,000 bears there. And it's funny, everybody does have their own taste, you know, and you know, I think it's not... It's not so much, well, it is a physical attraction, but I think a lot of times we forget to get to know them. You know, I mean, if there was a wall between us and we could talk for a while and you know, you get to the point where you like this person, wow, you know what, I really like you. And then when they step away from the wall, they may be 300 pounds or they may be 98 pounds. And I think we just automatically judge people. Oh, he's too big, or he's too skinny, I don't even want to talk to him. Or he's too old, I don't even want to talk to him. And I think we should all just, you know, you should try to put the blinder on and talk to someone, get to know them better, and then it won't matter what they look like. Because as you can see from my family, I have the whole range here. I have my pizza. and that's what I like, so it works.
Variety, the spice of life.
There you go.
And
you
I just,
got it. That's what I was trying to come up with, and I couldn't think of it.
I just want to interject that I have had gastric bypass. So I've gone from morbidly obese at 420 pounds down to what I considered the thinnest of my life of 250 pounds, which my goal weight was 240. I never made it. And I'm back up to 330, 340 now. And it doesn't matter. There is discrimination from different people every step of the way. When I lost all the weight, someone that I had an intimate relationship for years with as a chub basically one day turned to me and said, I'm no longer attracted to you. You're too skinny. And it was like a dagger thrust deep inside of my heart and twisted, because I thought that we were past that because we had such a loving relationship. And it took years to rebound from that. And even though I've gained my weight back and he's thrown hints that he's interested again, that door shut a long time ago. But I'm also discovering that it's not just about your weight, but it's how you carry yourself and the confidence that you have. And I'm noticing more now as a daddy and as a papa bear that some of the younglings that are coming along are saying to me, I'm not interested in big guys, but there's something about you.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about you that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking advantage of it.
Very well stated. Okay. Anybody else over here? Joshua, I know you wanted to share your story and you didn't get a chance to fill out the survey.
There's a few interesting things. One of them being not necessarily directly against me, but I have met some really nasty people. And one of them, I politely told the guy that I was into bigger people. And I was sorry, there was nothing wrong with him. It wasn't going to work. And he went off saying that those people are disgusting, they should only be with each other, and you're promoting that. And you're a bad person for telling them that being big is okay. I had no words to say to this person. I was floored.
Yeah.
Never in life expected to be attacked that way. And then back to the beginning article, talking about things that you say that seem harmless but aren't. I had a straight friend who had no idea I was gay or that I was into big people come into my store one day, and he had gained quite a bit of weight, and I was ecstatic. I was like, oh my God, you've got bigger. And I realized 5 minutes later how that probably did not go over that well. But to me, it was a really good thing. I was happy.
We all put our foot in it sometimes.
Yeah.
So. It happens. Try when you do it like that person did. They did an excellent job of trying to catch it. You know, if you don't catch it that day, that doesn't mean you can't write them later or send them a text or something and just say, you know, that was really insensitive of me. And it may have gone right over their head, water off a duck's back. They may not even hear those things anymore. But the fact that you took the time to address it and to try to change the behavior and make amends for that still can mean a lot to them because it shows them how much you care. We have someone else who has a survey to read.
Body type is fit. Not a bear or a chub or a chaser. Endowed 6 to 8 and treated poorly for body type. Have always been into bears, so while at a bear event, wanted to talk to a few, but they kept looking down on me for being too skinny with no facial hair. I have never tried to label myself as one thing, but feel we should never look down or judge others for size or looks.
Ran into the wrong people, because I'm sure there was probably some people there who thought that person was just fantastic and exactly what they were looking for. But, you know, it's amazing how just these happenstance things where you run into the wrong group of people and that can set the tone for what you think of a whole group, or, you know, hopefully that person has had some other people change that opinion for them. But that's so bad, you know. I mean, hey, just go with, you know, I'm into this specific body type and this specific thing, but I'm sure you're going to find somebody here who's into you, and that's what this community is all about, and have at it. Welcome, and be their friend. Oh my gosh, can you just be their friend and not, you know, and not worry so much about whether or not they're your exact sexual attraction body type? I mean, give me a break. So
that for the little guy, what was it, 6 million or 6 billion people in the world?
Billions.
Billion. Yeah, 6 billion people in this world. So if one person doesn't like you, oh fuck, well, go to the next one and talk to him. Trust me, you roll your dice long enough, he'll catch you a good one.
Oh, that's efficient.
Definitely some credence to what Ron was saying as well, is that get to know somebody first, because I've run into guys at bars that I thought were incredibly attractive, and then as soon as they came up, didn't say a word to me, and started grabbing or touching me, that was it. Like, I was done. Like, if they had taken the time to talk to me, different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like to be touched.
Okay.
All right, we got one more. Okay. All right, I consider myself chubby, but medically, I am obese. And he is a chub, endowed 3 to 6, treated poorly, yes. And poor treatment for what? too many to list on, too many to even list. But get looks at in clubs, being ignored in a group of fit men, constantly being called big guy instead of by my name. People assuming I eat huge amounts of food when I'm really just an average eater. Being asked to pay for sex because they have told me, you are not going to get it otherwise because of your size.
That happens on Growler at Bear App all the time. That happens on Growler at Bear App all the time. My partner Scott is 380, and he has all these skinny little boys that think that he just can't get any from anybody, and that they should just be able to charge him for playing around. Now, as David is laughing, because my boyfriend is incredibly successful at bringing home guys of all sizes and never been a problem for him. And so when he responds to them, he says, I could get two or three just like you without having to pay a cent, and I don't even have to buy them dinner. And it just goes to show you how ridiculous people can be, you know? Oh, you're overweight, so you must have to pay for it. Well, there may be some people that think that of themselves and do. And, you know, hey, if that's what they're having to do, whatever. But hopefully they discover that there are plenty of people out there who would be into them exactly the way they are, and they don't have to hire someone to like them. So one of the other things I was going to cover, too, is something that I deal with on my own. And it's a kind of a reverse prejudice, I guess you could say, and it has to deal with my self-worth. There are a lot of people out there who are all look at some guy, and like I was talking about before, with being bisexual, meaning that I like guys who are skinny all the way up to guys that are big. You know, there's still some times, though, where I'll be out at a bear event or be out at numbers for harness or something like that, and there'll be someone that I'll see that I think is so hot, and I will be there with a group of friends, and I'll go, oh, I'm not going to talk to them. They're just way too hot. There's no way that they're going to want anything to do with me. And then, you know, I'll find out later, they'll hit me up on some Facebook or something and tell me, oh, I wish you'd come over and say hi to me. And I'm going, damn it, why didn't I just do it? You know, I'll create my own problem. Instead of just going and saying hi and finding out because I'm so afraid that they're going to reject me, you know, look what I missed out on. Luckily, thanks to the advent of the internet and social networking and everything else, a lot of times you can salvage that. But, you know, I'm sure it probably related to cosmetics of some kind, but there was an episode of Designing Women, and it was the cheesiest line where they talk about Lady June Cosmetics, and let's see how many no's we can get today, you know, where they're going out trying to sell it, and it's not a matter of trying to get people to buy their product, but just seeing how many people they can talk to and get, and being more concerned about talking to as many people as they can and just getting no. And it's hard on the ego, but, you know, eventually you learn, hey, if I don't ask, I may never get it, and there's an opportunity that they might say yes. Papa Tony.
I'm going to do what I do periodically, every few months. I want you guys to take this seriously and be very honest. I want to see a show of hands. Who here has been treated shabbily in any way whatsoever by someone within Fetishman San Diego? Every time we get that response, you'll notice that no hands went up.
Or very few.
Or did somebody raise their hand? All right. Would you care to share it or what?
No.
Okay.
Oh, because the person's here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't do it, I promise.
No. Okay. I'm available if you want to talk about it later. But the point is that, I mean, the point that I'm leading towards is that when I created the group, the intention was very much the spirit that we have here. I mean, this is how you guys have shown up, and this is the way that we want you. That largely it's a very courteous group, that we treat each other well, that we don't spend a lot of time staying in little cliques. We don't have factions hissing and spitting at each other. We don't have the usual noise that's outside of this space. And I'm very proud of you guys for maintaining that, because I don't have to go around shaking my fist in your face saying, you better behave. You're already behaving because everybody wants to be nice. We want an excuse to drop the shields and be good to each other on whatever basis. you know, to just be accepted for who we are as we are now. And I'm really proud of you guys for maintaining that, and thank you.
And in the case of those who did have something happen from the rest of us, we'd like to say I'm sorry that that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to try and make it right if you feel that it's something that you want to have addressed. We don't want anybody in this group to be treating anybody poorly. You know, bear in mind that people sometimes are having a bad day and may unintentionally say something. But, you know, sometimes people are intentionally shitty, and we don't want that here. We want everybody to love each other. And if it's something that you would like to have addressed, you can talk to Magnum or myself or Papa Tony or Dad Ron, and we'd be happy. You know, probably best way, contact us online or something outside of this place so that way we can keep it confidential. But we'd like to make it right if we can.
His daddy says, you will love each other or I'll get my switch.
So. My experience in life that, you know, sometimes I'll just say things because I have a weird sense of humor and people will take it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they get really mad at me and so then they don't ever talk to me again. Anyway, if you have an issue with somebody, I tell everybody, like, if you're going to be my friend, you have to tell me if I say something or do something or. Because I can't deal with not knowing that you're hurt.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it goes both ways. So sometimes people don't mean it. I don't maliciously ever intend to hurt anybody, but I've hurt a lot of people in my life unintentionally. So I encourage people. All I'm saying is, if you know, if you feel bad, sometimes you need to go to a person and say, "Hey, look, that hurt my feelings. That wasn't right."
We're a group of sweethearts, as Papa Tony likes to say. And we can all be sensitive, and we can all sometimes be insensitive at the same time without meaning to. So let us deal with that if there's any of that here, if you want to. If it's something that you put in the past and just are moving on from, fine, but we'd love to handle it if not. And I could very well be the one who did, and if I did, then I want to make it right myself.
No, you're too level.
Oh, please.
I could be that man, too. It's just like I'm open. If you have an issue with me, come to me and we can get it cleared up.
You know, we'll get it.
We do have the technology. And I know everybody is wearing the sensitivity knob. And when I come here, I try to turn mine down before I walk up those stairs. Mine is usually on 12. I try to put it on 6. No. All right. Yeah.
Okay, so we've done everybody else. I had one more I wanted to read, and this was a good one. And, you know, I think I had talked about early possibly going into discrimination in the leather and fetish community. I think that might be a topic that we might come back and look at in a month or so, if everyone thinks that could be something we can cover. I think it might be a good one to talk about, just talking about things like title holders and talking about things like how different people from different areas of the country. It seems like on a lot of the coasts, we've got very fit people that represent us. And then if you go in places like the Midwest and the South, they're not quite so concerned about that person being the perfect leather clone. So I think that might be an interesting discussion, so we'll talk about possibly doing that at a later point. But I think, you know, I think that we've got kind of an unusual situation here in San Diego where we've had a lot of title holders that are just sweet, wonderful people that for the most part are, you know, amazing people in the community. They want to love everybody, and, you know, but who knows? Maybe we've had some people who've had some experiences where they've been slighted too, and it might be an interesting thing to cover just to kind of pass that information along to the people who organize that sort of thing so that they can better address that. So possibly a topic for later. But something to keep in mind, and maybe something. If anybody has ideas related to that, you can use the sign me up for event thing and just put in the title, you know, leather fetish, you know, discrimination or something along those lines, so we know what it's about, and we can maybe work that in as a topic later on. So, but I'm going to read the last one, and then we'll break for the evening unless anyone else has anything really urgent, important to say. So this is the last one. The body type was skinny but toned. They consider themselves an otter, they suppose, due to their body hair, grudgingly having to try and wedge themselves into some sort of title because everybody wants to. Treated poorly, yes. Were they treated poorly for endowment or body type? Both. They are 8 inches in down. Description of the situation is, my ex wanted me to stay under 170 pounds or else he would have dumped me. Even though he was 2 inches shorter than me and was about 178 pounds when we both started dating, and then eventually went up to 240 pounds. The only time he would really care to mind me were the times I was close to 130 pounds, but it was a lot of stress on my body, being that I'm 6'5". 130 pounds, 6'5".
Yeah.
I was a beanpole at 6'2" and 175 pounds, and people were asking me if I was ill.
Yeah.
So that is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for reference, I'm exactly 260 pounds, so that's two of me. I'm 6'5" too.
There may be some people who actually, that would be a normal, healthy weight for that at that size. But those are going to be very few and rare. During the past holiday season, I went up to 153 and he was complaining about my love handles and jelly rolls. Among other things I had to do for him just to make him happy, I would never have guessed that starving myself for his viewing pleasure would be one of them. When we went out to eat, I had to think of what he would say if I ordered certain foods. He always made fun of me when I was able to scarf down a whole plate of food or if I ate more than him. It was because I was hungry all the time. Sometimes I would throw up if I ate too much. I always had that guilt hanging over me. When his friends would come over, he would have me raise my shirt and suck in my stomach to show my ribs and my spine and say, I looked like I was in a concentration camp, which was quite offensive, as I'm Jewish. And I did have family die in the camps. Being skinny as I was, my ex always wanted me to dress up in costumes or special underwear, but would get upset that I would stretch them out when I became erect. He didn't like the fact that I was taller, hairier, and had a larger penis because I was also younger than him. I was never allowed to talk because of my endowment and because I was smaller in stature. With his friends, he would shame me for having a large penis, and it was always awkward to navigate in those situations.
Jeez.
Damn.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Yeah, right? Don't print from heaven.
He's got something that a lot of people would really be thankful for, large endowment. And, you know, this person was turning that into a negative because, you know, he's too big to, you know, for that person to handle him, or so they thought, because they didn't really want to try, because obviously they only care about themselves.
And how much of that was projection?
Right.
Demean?
Huh?
Sounds like that person just wants somebody to demean.
It's an abuse. It's an abusive relationship, just
yeah.
A weird one.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre abusive relationship. But basically what we're looking at is someone who has a bunch of their own issues that they're pushing off onto somebody else because of the fact that they don't want to deal with the fact that they're messed up.
Yeah.
So
he needs to come see Daddy. I'll take care of
it. So, anyways, I thought that was a good one to end on because that kind of goes back the other way from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to just share something that, well, I was on a Tumblr site, and since we were talking about cock size, and it doesn't cite the source, but it says 15% of men are over 7 inches, and only 3% of men are over 8 inches. But here's the great news for all of us. The average gay man's penis is a third inch bigger than straight men.
Yeah!
Yeah.
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 Right.
That's because we use
it.
How
did
they
get
a
not even moving the recommendation of.
Well, you remember the ancient joke of why gay men, so many gay men have facial hair? To hide the stretch marks. body modification, gentlemen.
Why are women so bad at math? Because their whole life they've been told this is 10 inches.
Yeah. AOL inches. So is there anything else
questions?
Any questions, any comments, anything we missed?
I think we forgot to do questions.
Okay,
Slave Keith is out. He's hurting. He's strained himself, and he's just needing to be by himself for a while. He'll be feeling better soon. My wallet is square.
Well, send him all of
our
well
wallet should be on.
No,
it's back
here.
There. Or do you have it?
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Would you pass the hat, please? All right, this was a really good one, wasn't it, gentlemen? Let's hear it for John. Yeehaw.